Here's a fly ball into right center field. Back at the wall. It is gone. Grand slam. And the first inning is historic. 11 runs on the board for the Dodgers.
And that was that. Dodgers knocking off the Braves 15-3. 15 runs in the first three innings. 11 runs in the first inning. As the Dodgers put it on the Braves. Some interesting nuggets from that game last night. That is the first team in any postseason game to score 11 runs in any inning, let alone in the first inning. So there was that. Three home runs in the first, five homers in the first few innings. Max Muncy with the grand slam. Dodgers are the most runs they scored in a postseason game in franchise history. Biggest margin for the Dodgers in their postseason history. And through the first 64 innings of the playoffs, the Braves had allowed six runs. Last six innings, 22.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy is, and I've seen this, we've seen with the Royals over the years, is that you score a whole bunch of runs in one game, and you use all of it there, and then the next day you can't score.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if the Braves end up winning today in game four and the Dodgers score one or two runs or even get shut out. You like to save some of those runs. But that game was over. And, you know, I know people have been critical of Joe Buck, mainly Royals fans, because they didn't understand that Madison Bumgarner is doing something that nobody in the history of Major League Baseball was doing in that postseason, and that he isn't your homer broadcaster. Many Royals fans never got that. Many were bandwagon fans that jumped on in regards to not being a Royals fan and suddenly getting all defensive because Joe Buck said something good about Madison Bumgarner. But Joe Buck had a hard time, had a tough job last night. I mean, this game was over in half an inning.
Yeah.
It was 11-0. You know, how do you make that entertaining? How do you get people to keep watching outside of Dodger and Braves fans? And if you're a Braves fan, why would you keep watching? So I don't know what kind of audience he had to pander to there, but that is a challenge for a broadcaster. We know that. You know, we know that.
That's a challenge, I would think, for everybody involved.
Absolutely.
Like, how do the Dodgers just keep playing?
Right.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
And then he scored, you know, get up 15-0, and it's like, well, what do we do the rest of the, you know, score the
yeah,
rest
we,
of
we
the
still
game?
Got
but what do we
half,
do the rest of the game?
We still have 8.5 innings to go with this, you know, thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so the Dodgers are still alive, and Kershaw's going to be on the mound tonight. More on that in a moment. The Astros find a way to stay alive. Big reason, Zach Greinke.
Ninth inning, the 1-2 in the air. Right field, and right there to make the play is Springer. Ball game. The Houston Astros win.
Ryan Pressly is warming up the bullpen, the closer for the Astros. With one out in the sixth inning, Zach Greinke's had some arm soreness. He stayed out there, and his catcher, Martin Maldonado, of course, used to be a Royal as well for a short period of time, convinced his manager, Dusty Baker, to leave Greinke in there, and Greinke then struck out Azarenka. And then there's infield hit, bases loaded. He struck out Mike Brousseau swinging on a changeup to end the threat. And some interesting comments. Greinke threw six innings, struck out seven, two runs allowed, and he got him through that sixth inning. And it's interesting what Zach Greinke had to say, because he was like, well, finally somebody trusts in my ability, which is an interesting shot, because remember last year, Game 7 of the World Series, he was fantastic through six innings and had a shutout. And then he was lifted after giving up a one-out homer and then a walk, and the bullpen couldn't hold the lead. When asked if his comments about the team not always having confidence in him stem from last year's Game 7, Greinke replied, that was one example, but there's probably a dozen examples if you look back at it. So, you know, Greinke's pretty soft-spoken. He has social anxiety issues. He made a comment the other day about how he was glad fans weren't in the stands, and a whole bunch of people that knew nothing about what they're talking about started piling on Zach Greinke, but they don't know that Zach Greinke's a different dude. But also he has social anxiety issues and disorder that he's dealt with his whole career. It almost forced him to leave baseball before he even made his millions. So once again, people spouting off, not knowing what the hell they're talking about. And he's a guy that's just honest. I mean, he'll say things that just catch you off guard, but he's just speaking honestly. He's a different cat. And I don't like the Astros because of what they did, but I was cheering for Zach Greinke last night. I was. I was glad he got out of that inning. I'm okay with the Astros winning the game. Now the series, not so much. But what, you know, what's the odds that the Astros are going to come back from 3-0? Pretty much small to nothing.
Yes.
Only one team's ever done it. But you never know. And Greinke might be coming back for a Game 7. Who knows? But I was happy for Greinke because of all things he's been through. I understand that to an extent as to what he's gone through in regards to knowing him and other people have been around him. But all these yahoos that post stuff on social media knowing nothing what they're talking about. You know, it's okay to actually not have to post on social media. It's okay to put your keypad down it's okay to put the phone down and not comment on every single thing in the world, because more than likely, most of us, including myself and Dusty and most of you listening out there, probably 98% of stuff on social media that we talk about, we don't know what the hell we're talking about anyway. So why don't we just stay off of it? You can watch it, you can read it, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. But we have to make a comment about everything. Some people are that way. And if you're one of those people that always has to make a comment on social media immediately about something, especially like this with Zach Greinke, not knowing anything about his mental health issues, then shame on you. Shame on you.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to just
pile on,
not say anything too.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's fairly
seems
easy
to be harder to not say anything than to say something.
Yeah,
doesn't
it? But I mean, if you really think about it, it's fairly easy to just be like, I don't know what's going on with this situation. I'm just gonna sit this one out.
Yeah. Oh well, when you said that, that's kind of interesting. But maybe I don't have to make a comment. You know, it's okay. We don't always care about everybody's comments in the world.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball continuing with the playoffs. Dodgers Braves. Game four is today, 7:08 on Fox FS1. Dodgers, Braves, and Kershaw's on the mound. So the Dodgers have to feel good. They can even the series with Kershaw on the mound, but we know his struggles in the postseason. Although he really hasn't been that bad in the postseason as people think. He just has some bad luck, and his ERA is not horrible, just not as good as the regular season. And the Rays have a chance to close out the series against the Astros, and both teams are trying to figure out who their starting pitcher is. They moked some pitching yesterday. 4:07, first pitch on TBS this afternoon. The Rays have a chance to move on to the World Series. So you like this. Every day they're playing games. They're in neutral sites, so they might as well just keep playing. Why take a day off?
No travel days.
They just stand around and do nothing, so you might as well play. And that's what's happening in Major League Baseball. By the way, on this date, Major League Baseball history, Royals fans, I remember this. I certainly remember this. And I couldn't believe it was happening. The Royals completed a sweep of the Baltimore Orioles. 2-1. Game four of the ALCS, a punch a ticket to the World Series for the first time since 1985. That was on this date back in 2014. 6 years ago.
Gerard Dyson said, "We're not going back to Baltimore."
And he was right. People said, "Oh, that's arrogant." You know what? They backed it up, and they did not go back to Baltimore. No doubt about it. So there's some good feelings about Royals baseball, even though we've been eliminated a long time ago here this year. Breaking news, the Atlanta Falcons closing down their facilities. They have four positive COVID-19 tests, so the NFL is going to have more issues to deal with. Le'Veon Bell currently plans to sign with one of three teams, according to sources. And those teams, the Bills, Dolphins, or the Chiefs, supposedly. Bell supposedly is going to decide among these teams as early as today, but as of now, those are the three teams he's considering, according to various sources. There was a source that said that he was in Kansas City taking a physical yesterday, and I know a source of mine that tells me that is not correct. So people, once again, jumping the gun to try to be first in news that they don't know what they're talking about. And, of course, what do they do? Well, I have a source that tells me he's in for a physical. Yeah, there was. There was some other guy, but it wasn't Le'Veon Bell that was in for a physical, probably. And then, and that's how rumors spread, and misinformation leads to more misinformation. So I trust my source, my friends in Kansas City, much more than the guy that threw that out there yesterday. Because if that was the case, then why would there be reports that he's considering three teams today? It would be a done deal. It'd be over with. So who knows what to believe, right? Local sports got some athletes of the week. We can believe that.
Yes, we can believe that. And it's a good week to be a Lakeside Knight. The Lakeside Lady Knights volleyball team and Lakeside junior Kylan Cunningham have been named the NCSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week. Lakeside's had an outstanding season so far on the volleyball court, 20-5 now this season. They went 2-1 at the Southern Cloud Quad Tuesday. In the month of October, they're 6-1. They picked up two three-set wins, over Stockton and on October 5th, then followed with a sweep of their home triangular over Chase and Pike Valley in straight sets. Tuesday in Miltonville, they beat Southern Cloud and Natoma in straight sets, and then their only setback of the month was a three-set loss to a very good Sylvan Lucas team there Tuesday. In fact, three of the five losses that Lakeside has had has been to Sylvan Lucas, and so they've only lost to three different teams here this season. Also during this season, Lakeside coach Michelle Brummett reached the 100-win milestone, as we told you about earlier this month. And the next up for the Lakeside Lady Knights will be the NPL tournament this Saturday in Lincoln. Kylan Cunningham, a great season on the gridiron for Lakeside, but put together a career night against Pike Valley this past Friday. In the Knights' 82-50 win, he amassed 365 total yards and 10 total touchdowns, 15-21 passing, 252 yards and 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. And then on the ground, he picked up 113 yards on 15 carries and another 5 scores. He surpassed the 1,000-yard passing mark this season, completing 61 of 61% of his passes, and he has 18 touchdowns and just two interceptions in six games throwing the football, and he's now rushed for 11 touchdowns as well, 52 tackles and two interceptions on defense, so he's doing it both ways. Again, congratulations to the Lakeside Lady Knight volleyball team and Kylan Cunningham from Lakeside, the junior, the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athletes of the Week. You can read more at NCKSSports.com about how you can nominate a player or any athlete from any school sport for Athlete of the Week. Coming up today, high school activities, the high school volleyball schedule, and MCL tournament pools. There's three different pools, and so Pool C will be playing at Smith Center, so Smith Center gets the host. Things start at 4:30 this afternoon, Smith Center taking on Russell. Other matches for Smith Center will be against Hill City and Trigo there in Smith Center. Again, the full pool schedule can be found at ncksports.com. And then coming up this afternoon as well at 4 o'clock will be the Northern Plains League Cross Country Meet, hosted by Lakeside there in Downs. So best of luck to all the area runners in that as well. High school football locker room chats coming up tonight. We'll talk to the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas this evening. On the locker room chats will begin around 5:10 to 5:15 with those. And again, if you ever miss them, they're always posted on our locker room chat podcast at katycountry94.com. So that's a look at what's going on here today locally in high school sports. So stay tuned for all the locker room chats this evening.
Schedule tomorrow.
Tomorrow's high school football schedule, as we will have the Football Express presented by Cunningham Telephone and Cable at 5:40. And then coming up at 6:30 pregame, kickoff at 7 o'clock on Katy Country 94. We've got Minneapolis at Beloit. Also online video stream at ncksports.com. And on Z96.3 through the Lake, a big district showdown, 8-man Division II District 4, as we have Lakeside at St. John's Tipton. Pregame 6:30, kickoff 7 o'clock. Also online, kittycountry94.com. And then we'll conclude our local coverage with the local high school football scoreboard show presented by State Farm Insurance, Osborne and Beloit, on tomorrow night at 10:05. So that's a look at what's going on tomorrow with high school football week 7 of the season.
Max Pound's birthday today. Air Force One wished him a happy birthday. Yeah. I didn't know a plane wishes people birthdays, but apparently Max is that important.
Yeah.
Les Miles says hello, but from a distance.
Yes.
Speaking of that, that's where we lead into coaches with COVID. It's a new show. Nick Saban's the latest. He's been wearing a mask. He's been extra, ultra careful. Him and the athletic director of Alabama have COVID-19. Second-ranked Crimson Tide, supposed to host number 3 Georgia on Saturday, and Saban will not be on the sidelines. Saban has never lost to a former assistant coach of his. He's never lost to any of his proteges. Never. 21-0.
Yeah.
Never. This would be an asterisk if they lose to Georgia. He won't be on the sideline. Does it count?
Yeah.
He's going to be at home. Saban, asymptomatic, so no symptoms. He's working from his home. He's upbeat. He's 68 years of age. He says he's feeling fine, and he was surprised by the positive test. And they retested, and he was still positive. Alabama plans to test everybody within the football program today. The program began daily testing for its players in September. And Steve Sarkisian will be the one that's in charge of things on the sideline on Saturday if Alabama and Georgia play. LSU and Florida, that game has been postponed till December. Florida is supposed to host that one. Dan Mullen has backed off his comments as Florida head football coach about filling the swamp to 90,000 people. Now that they've had multiple positive tests, I believe there's 19 with the University of Florida football team, whether it be staff or players. So that game has been postponed. So the SEC suddenly has been hit by COVID. Now, Big 12 dealt with it right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Big 10, Pac-12 haven't in regards to they haven't played games yet. And the ACC has had to deal with some of that. But now the SEC had Vanderbilt, Missouri. That's been postponed to December. And now LSU, Florida, and now Alabama, Georgia. I mean, if they have some positive tests today, I don't know if they're going to play that game. I doubt it.
Yeah.
And it's one of the biggest games of the year. So you want to play that at full strength if you can. So COVID-19 wreaking some havoc once again on sports. Now, it doesn't mean that's the end of things. You shut things down. Although, as we said, the Atlanta Falcons had to shut down their facilities today because of 4 positive tests. We're going to deal with this. I mean, this is the life that we live now. Yeah. There's going to be, it's inevitable. You're going to have positive tests with teams. If you're going to continue to play sports, there's going to be positives. There's going to be some guys are going to have to sit out and not play. Sometimes it's going to be some prominent players and prominent coaches. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of how you deal with it. We said this way back before we even got going in sports again, that you, at some point you're going to have to just deal with it because, as Jim Boeheim said, and he was right, what are we going to do, shut down sports for 3 years? Because it's probably going to take 3 years at least for us to maybe get rid of this virus. Maybe longer. Heh, we still haven't gotten rid of all the flu. We have different strains of the flu. So it's something we're going to have to live with. Yeah. We're going to have to deal with. Hopefully get better vaccines or have a vaccine or one that's trustworthy or multiple vaccines or we have medicines and we can deal with COVID. And I think that's starting to happen. We're seeing people that aren't in as dire straits with COVID-19 in regards to getting it. Of course, we're seeing more younger people get it, which is probably just because more people are more active and out and about and this and that. And there's a lot for us to still learn about COVID-19. But because a team has a couple of positives, does that mean that we change everything that we're doing? No. Major League Baseball fought through it. The NFL's dealing with it. College football's dealing with it. NBA had the greatest thing, the bubble, with no positives. The NHL did a great job as well. Although, you know, let's be honest, it's not something you want to do in the future is be playing all these games in bubbles and not having fans in the stands. So hopefully that's a short-term thing. Yeah. But the NFL, we knew everybody's going to have to deal with it, especially going into these colder months where you're going to have flu and COVID that you're going to be dealing with. It's going to make it very challenging. So the SEC now with a couple of postponements, and the big one is LSU-Florida, but the bigger one would be Alabama and Georgia. And some people have thrown out there that Nick Saban did everything he could, and the virus is going to virus. It doesn't matter whether you wear a mask or not. You know, once again, that's up to debate. I don't know. I mean, there's been things I've seen that show that masks actually help prevent it, and I've read stories about certain masks and other masks aren't really doing anything, and I've read elsewhere where masks aren't really that great of a thing after all. I don't know what to believe. There's three different narratives out there. How the heck are we supposed to know which one to believe? Because they all can't be true. I don't think.
No.
And they all can't be false. Well, maybe they could be, but I don't know, man. I my head just spins with all of it. Le'Veon Bell. Talk about him going to the Chiefs. We talked about this a moment ago. Do you think that's a fit for the Chiefs? I mean, the Chiefs are interested, by the way, and they should be. I mean, when you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who is a rookie, who might hit a rookie wall later, he's still learning the offense. The Chiefs haven't been great running the ball in short yardage situations and then get down to the five like they had, you know, with Kareem Hunt back when they had him a few years back. Darrell Williams is not exactly the guy I'm going to feel good about if Helaire gets hurt. I think Le'Veon Bell would be a minimum salary for the rest of the year. He'd be insurance in case something had to Helaire. I think that's the bigger reason to sign him. And also, him and Helaire can share the duties and then take some pressure off Helaire. And then, you know, next year, I compare this to Terrell Suggs in a way. You know, the Chiefs grabbed Terrell Suggs, and he helped. He didn't do a lot, but he helped a little bit. And he was okay in the clubhouse. Now, that's my question with Le'Veon Bell. Is he going to be good in the clubhouse? Is he going to be okay in the locker room? I think that's my bigger question with him. But I don't see there a reason why the Chiefs shouldn't at least be interested. I don't think there's a reason why the Chiefs shouldn't consider bringing Le'Veon Bell in unless you're worried about team chemistry. And Le'Veon Bell is not Antonio Brown, by the way. They're two different players. Mm-hmm. I still think the Jets didn't use him right. I think Le'Veon Bell has something in the tank. The question is how much. But I will say this. If Helaire goes off the field, you still have to account for Le'Veon Bell if he's out there. I could see Le'Veon Bell becoming the Chiefs' third down back initially, early on. And that means Darrell Williams is going to be relegated to the bench. And then, you know, see how it goes. I could see that. But right now he's deciding between the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Chiefs, according to reports, if you trust them. And, of course, the Bills and the Chiefs play Monday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock, I believe. Chiefs Network hasn't even let us know pregame time. 3 o'clock pregame, I assume, on Monday on Z96.3 The Lake. What do you think? Bell to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get them, get them.
I say, why not?
Talk about the. A lot of people want to bring that up, right? Any kind of guy like Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, whoever it is, right? Sure, they want to bring up, oh, he could be a cancer in the locker.
Any guy could.
Here's the thing, the culture that the Chiefs have. If it's not going to work, they're not going to be around. They're going to take a flyer, maybe.
Yeah.
But if they can't coexist with the culture that's already built,
he'll be gone.
He will not stay.
I agree.
And so it's not that hard to figure out. Mm-hmm. If he comes in and does the right things, he'll be part of the team. If he doesn't, they're not going to mess around with him.
I agree.
It's not Andy Reid's style. It's not the Chiefs style right now, the way they're built. And the leaders that they have on their team will make sure that he's not a disruption.
If he cares about getting a ring, the best options obviously would be the Bills or the Chiefs, not the Dolphins. But I believe he has a place in Florida. Or works out in Florida, so there's time the Dolphins might make some sense. If I'm the Dolphins, I don't see how it makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're not a playoff contender. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it wouldn't cost you much, though. Wouldn't put fans in the seats. I mean, don't have that issue right now. I don't know. It makes sense. The Bills make some sense. They struggled running the ball the other day. You got a young quarterback. Of course, Chiefs do, too. don't know. I got a feeling Bell's going to be a Chief. I don't know why. I got a feeling he's going to be a Chief.
Yeah.
We'll see if it works or not. We just keep losing athletes, former athletes, really good athletes. Another Hall of Famer passes away today, this time in football. Fred Dean, Hall of Famer pass rusher with the Chargers, 49ers, died Wednesday after battling COVID-19. According to this report, he had been hospitalized for intensive care with COVID-19. 68 years of age, he is a second-round pick in the 1975 draft, blossomed into an all-pro player with earning time with the Chargers, and then helped them come within a game of the Super Bowl. And then in a contract dispute, he was traded from San Diego to the 49ers and had a sack in the 49ers Super Bowl victory of the Bengals the first time they played him in the Super Bowl. Of course, the second time was the whole Jerry Rice MVP performance and Joe Montana leading him down in the final minutes to win. And he was also, he had 17 and a half sacks in 1983. 17 and a half sacks in 1983, Fred Dean did, and he and the 49ers were able to shut down Dan Marino in the high-octane offense of the Dolphins in that Super Bowl victory, 38-16. So another Hall of Famer passing away. Six baseball Hall of Famers passed away in 2020 alone, and now NFL Hall of Famer Fred Dean, and this one is tied to COVID-19, according to this report. 2020. When can you finish up the year? Well, basically in about 2.5 months, Wade. That's so, the answer.
I'm going to need to read the terms and conditions of 2020.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you.
I saw that on Facebook the other day.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Excellent point.